Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Harold J. Saylor said, you feed your kids daily or your children daily, right? You expect them to study their lessons daily. You want them to practice daily, to learn proficiency in music if they are musical. Why not set aside some time each day, even if it is as brief as 5 minutes following a meal, when you as a family touch God together or pray to God together, something which can be tremendously meaningful in the lives of your children. Holy Father God, we pray now our prayer for the family. We pray that you would heal every Christian marriage and family in a real sense, and help them, help all families to understand that you created the family and you have written the instructions for the family, and that the family that prays together and obeys together stays together. And help every family to read your holy word in Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6 as much as they please, and help everybody be reminded by you of what they're supposed to do, regardless of how they may feel about it. And help them to do it. Give them your grace, your strength, and the power of your Holy Spirit to do it. And along with doing it, to pray without ceasing. And Lord, I know that your people who are truly born again will do what your holy word tells them to do, so that they can have peace and joy and harmony in their family life, understanding that money and material things will not make them happy at all. And so, Holy Father God, we also pray for the salvation of those families that don't know you in the millions. And they don't know anything about how to do family because they don't even know you as Savior. And that's our fault in the church. And so, Lord, have mercy and grace upon us, and please forgive us of our sins of not witnessing to the lost. And no doubt, Lord, that's one of the reasons why churches have been shut down in this country, because we have been playing instead of praying, and we have not obeyed the Great Commandment or the Great Commission. And we pray that you would raise up laborers into the field. Lord, even if you have to skip over us and you have to get somebody else from another country to serve as missionaries in this country, Lord, so be it, so that they can hear the gospel and be saved, and the whited harvest field can be reaped for your glory, your praise, and your honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Read with me or recite with me the New Nicene Creed. We believe in one God. If you don't believe this, don't say it. But if you believe it, it ought to change your life. You ought to be a different person. These truths have transformed the lives of millions, and if you believe it, you ought to act like it. The Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. If that statement is true, then you can believe God to deliver you from your problems, your troubles, your difficulties or give you the grace to climb. Of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. You may not understand it all, but you need to believe it all. Through him all things were made for us, and for our salvation he came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made human. You may not understand it all, but you would be wise to believe it all. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the scriptures. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women. The disciples, John and Peter and the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen. At this time, the family passage that we're going to read today, I believe, is Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 1 through 3. Three verses dealing with the children and what they ought to do. And this includes everybody living in your house, parents, even if they are of age, if they're grown. If they're living in your house, they must abide by your rules. They can't have a girlfriend stay over or have sex in your house. They can't have a boyfriend stay over and have sex in your house and just get up when they want, do what they want, eat what they want, and not help contribute. They need to work and participate in your home, and you're still in charge if they live at your house. Now, they live in their own house, they can do whatever they want, and you have to commit them to God, turn them over to God, and your job is to pray for them and to advise them. But they don't have to take your advice. You just need to get over yourself and just understand now. And see, this is hard for some parents who have not done their job. See, you want to try to keep on raising your children after they're grown, and that's not going to work. No, you leave it all on the field. You do like Michael Jordan, and you leave it all on the court. You do your job while they're there. But when they leave and they live on their own and they're taking care of themselves, you can advise and you can pray. But you can't raise them anymore now. You can't, because just because you didn't do it while they were there. Don't you get mad with me. I'm trying to help you. You've got to truly be able to set them free. And one of the best ways you can set them free is to know you left it all on the field. You told them everything. You taught them everything. And you gave them the word of God, and you prayed for them and with them, and you had family devotions with them every day of their life, and you made sure they did what they were supposed to do. You gave them jobs and opportunities and responsibilities and obligations, and they did the shopping, and they did chores around the house, and they paid bills and so forth and so on, so that when they're out on their own, they know how to take care of themselves. But you can't try to raise them when they leave now. Those days are over. You have an advisor, you have a role as an advisor and a prayer for her. You pray for your children. That's what you better be doing. You have no control over what they do now once they leave. But if they're living in your house, they have to abide by your rules. And if they don't, that's a problem. And as I have told you, it's okay to have a problem, but deal with the problem. See, we got too many parents afraid of having a problem. Got too many husbands afraid of having a problem. If there's a problem with insubordination, we got to deal with the problem. That's all. And you have the authority. Whether you believe it or not, you have the authority. And guess what? They know you have the authority. So you need to magnify your office and say, look here. Don't come in here, Pat, and let me help you. I know you're smelling yourself. But don't come in my house past 10 o'clock. Do you hear me? Because I will have all the doors and windows locked, and if you try to break in, the alarms are going to go off all down the neighborhood, and the police are going to come and arrest you for breaking into my house. Oh, preacher, that's so unloving. You call it what you want. I'm not going to have it in my house. You do what you want to do. Anyway, the word of God says to the children, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, this is a direct statement to children. So God is speaking to children right here, not little kiddies, not little first graders who don't understand, little kindergartners. He's speaking to them too, but you got to translate and get it to them. But he's speaking to people who understand, children who understand, who probably children who have gotten to that age of what we call accountability, where they begin to smell themselves, and they, as the old folks used to say, and they are at that age where they make choices to do good and evil, and they know it. So the first verse, once again, I want you to get it. To all children living at home right now. And I'm a parent who's big. When it's time for you to go, I want you to go. But I want you to take care of yourself. And I want you to, don't be bothering me. Make sure you got your job, you got your business or whatever you're doing. And you take care of yourself. All of my grown children who are gone, they don't bother me about anything. They have not asked me for any kind of financial help or anything like that since they've been gone, because I trained them and taught them well. In fact, God touched their hearts. I didn't. All three of them. God touched their hearts to send me money to help me in the ministry. And so I want to say to you parents, in time to come, in time to come. It may be rough and tough right now. Pell mell, rumble tumble right now. It may not be that pretty right now, but in time to come, God will bless you. If you go through the difficult times and raise your children the right way, and by the grace of God, if you have natural affection, you'll do it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's a lot to understand for a kindergartner. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And this is what you ought to. You need to be a good parent yourself, because if you're not a good parent, this is not going to happen. But if you are a good parent, then this is what you ought to expect from your children. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. God will bless you. God will bless your life if you honor and respect and love your parents and make sure things are right between you. And He will bless you with a long life as well. Psalm 41, 5 through 13 is our scripture passage, our devotional passage for today. Mine enemies speak evil of me. Do you have any enemies? If you're serving God and you're serving Jesus Christ, you do. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. They're lying on me, telling people I have the coronavirus. Do you know that if you're a servant of God and you are sincere in serving the Lord, you'll have enemies who will wish something like that on you? They can't wait to get some news that you have come down with some deadly disease. That is so sad. And here's what they say in verse 8. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. They want you to die. Some of you who have served God all your life, you got people, some in your family, they hate you because you told them the truth, and they want you to get sick and die. That's some hatred for you. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread and hath lifted up his heel against me. Some of you have familiar friends like this, and God has given you a check in your spirit about them, and they come over to your house and eat food with you, eat dinner with you, kick it with you, but the whole time they are a Judas to you. Whole time they trying to get your husband. They're not really there to see you. They love your husband, or they love one of your children. They're devils. They're Judases. They want to backstab you. You notice how they look at you? They look at you, you know, kind of with a glance. Then they look at somebody else a little longingly. You got to watch people. You got to watch your familiar friends. Don't get too familiar with them. As they say, familiarity breeds contempt. You better, this is a good time to check your friends and see, God has blessed you. He's allowed this plague to break up some of your so-called familiar friends who want to come over just to do you evil. You have found out about them now. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted. Which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. And this is a reference to Judas as well. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up, that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doeth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen. So what did Dr. Matthew Henry say about this many years ago? He said, we complain of the want of sincerity and that there is scarcely any true friendship to be found among men. But the former days were no better. And by the way, let me just help you. God is not going to give you in your adult life no more than 2 to 3 at the most real Ace Boone Coons. Some real friends. Stop trying to make everybody your friend. I know you desire all of that, but you need to let God give you your friends. These are they, no matter what happens in your life, they will be there for you. They'll have your back. They know you. They know you have your issues, but they still love you. And when you talk together, is iron sharpening iron. You can tell them anything. They can tell you anything. And you love fellowshipping together. In fact, you can talk for 2 or 3 hours on the phone and don't even know where the time went. This is your Ace Boone Coon. These are your friends that God have provided for you. And they will be there with you and for you any time of the day or night. In fact, they love hearing from you and you love hearing from them. These are your Ace Boone Coons, as we used to say. And you only get about 2 or 3 of them. That's it. That's it. You can tell them anything and they'll never tell anybody else. And so you need to thank God for those dear friends. And you need to be discerning about the Judases in your life. One particularly in whom David had reposed great confidence took part with his enemies. And let us not think it strange if we receive evil from those we suppose to be friends. Have not we ourselves thus broken our words towards God? Don't be shocked when people break their word to you. We eat of his bread daily, yet lift up the heel against him. But though we may not take pleasure in the fall of our enemies, we may take pleasure in the making vain of their designs. when we can discern the Lord's favor in any mercy, personal or public, that doubles it. If the grace of God did not take constant care of us, we should not be upheld. But let us, while on earth, give heartfelt assent to those praises which the redeemed on earth and in heaven render to their God and Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in praying for all believers in Christ, and pray and help join me in praying also for all unbelievers. Join me in praying for all of the family members and friends and church members of those who have died in the coronavirus plague. Join me in praying for government officials, law enforcement leaders. Join me in praying for the persecuted, for all of the countries, and for the peace of Jerusalem, for medical workers and others who are now dubbed essential workers, based upon God's holy word, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray with, at the same time, satanic attacks coming against us, Lord, daily and hourly. And so, Holy Father God, as we pray, please rebuke and bind the demonic spirit of Satan, the devil, and the demons of hell from our prayer time, from our hearts and minds as we pray to you, as so many of us are weak and feeble, and we acknowledge it. Give us spiritual grace and strength to pray. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who don't know you as Savior. We pray, Holy Father God, for the salvation of the lost. Have mercy and grace, continued mercy and grace upon us, and forgive us, Lord, of our sins, of not witnessing to them as we should. Please raise up laborers into the field in these last days to reap the white-knit harvest field. We pray that millions would hear the gospel and be saved through this ministry and other ministries around the world. And we thank you, Lord, for more preachers proclaiming your holy gospel each and every day. And Holy Father God, we pray that you'll help us as believers, Lord, to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to get back to you, our first love, for true New Testament revival. We can't do it, but Lord, you can, and we pray that you will. And at the same time, Lord, even though we're in this plague right now, we remember the right hand of the Lord. We thank you for your right hand of blessing and provision down through the years. We praise you and we thank you for salvation, spiritual, family, life, food, material, protection, and provision blessings down through the years. And Lord, by your mercy and your grace, and Lord, you see something in us that gives you the confidence and the peace that we will confess our sins and repent. We pray that you will, even in the midst of this plague, continue to bless us as you have in the past, and we thank you for doing so. And Holy Father God, we pray for all people in government, all government officials, and Lord, we pray for their salvation. We pray for spiritual, family, life, protection and provision, blessings and leadership, guidance and direction in their lives. Give them, Lord, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Holy Father God, we pray for those preachers who have, hopefully, the ear of the president to get to him and to help him to understand he needs to make some changes in government or they will walk away from him. And we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ that, Lord, you would indeed bless other countries and their governments in the same way. And Lord, we pray for their salvation as well. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we pray, Lord, for your continued protection. And we pray for the comfort and protection and provision and deliverance of all of those who are being persecuted in Nigeria, in Kenya, in the Philippines, in China, and even in America and around the globe. Comfort them and be with them as only you can. And Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation salvation, Lord, of those who don't know your Savior in this country, around the globe, and in the media. And we pray, Lord, for the revival of your believers in this country, around the globe, and in the media as well. And Holy Father God, we pray for all of those who work in the hospitals and all of those who are frontline workers in every area of life, who by your grace have kept this country going, providing the essential things that we all need with courage and bravery. We pray that you will continue to bless and protect them. And Lord, just last night we heard about a preacher who's a manager at Walmart down in Tallahassee, Florida. And who's working from the time he gets up in the morning all the way into the wee hours of the morning, trying to make everything safe for people. So Lord, strengthen him. We pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ now for all of the people who are hurting and suffering with a soul pain that many of us don't know anything about, the death of a loved one and the death of loved ones through the coronavirus plague. We pray for the millions who are hurting today. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the family and friends and church family of Washington State Church member Alice Gullity. We pray for the family and friends of New York author Yu Lahua. We pray for the family and friends of Arizona resident Valentina Blackhorse. We pray for the family and friends of Missouri nurse Judy Wilson Griffin. We pray for the family and friends of Maryland resident Horace Saunders. We pray for the family and friends of Maryland resident Violet Saunders, another family with multiple deaths from the coronavirus, as it is so contagious. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends of Virginia resident Patricia Weisenborn. We pray for the family and friends of Maryland professor Peter Bainham. We pray for the family and friends of New York resident Joel Kupperman. And we pray for all of these families, Lord, that you will comfort them as only you can and help them to turn their eyes towards you, Lord Jesus, and towards you for salvation and for comfort. And also, Lord, turn their eyes towards your Holy Scriptures for comfort. Because humanly speaking, we have no comfort for these people. We have no words. We pray for the family and friends of Illinois resident John Nakawatasi. And we commit all of these souls into your hands. And we pray for the thousands and millions of other family members who are hurting in the same way as we're just mentioning a few. And now, Lord, we pray for all of the, or some of the prayer requests that have come into us. We pray, Lord, for William, for his mom, Carol, to be healed and help her to feel better, for everyone else who has the flu or coronavirus to get better as well. We pray for Naeem, please remove the coronavirus from the world, is his prayer request. Provide all people living on daily wages with the necessities that they need. Provide Naeem's ministry with supplies to help others. We pray for Ravi. Please remove the coronavirus from the world and provide him with soap, tissue, sanitizer, masks, and food to give to the poor children. Bless him with Urdu Bibles and children's Bibles, sewing machines, and tables for the widows, food for the orphans and disabled children, and food packages for the poor and needy families in Pakistan. Bless their prayer meetings and gospel outreach ministry. And we pray, Lord, for Stephen. Please bring his wife back from Europe. Guide them in their marriage and protect them from the coronavirus disease. We pray for Nita. Please protect her and her loved ones from the coronavirus as well. And we commit all of these souls into your hands and let your will be done in their lives and in ours. And we pray for the thousands upon thousands of others who have sent in prayer lists down, a prayer request down through the years, who are on our prayer list now. And we pray that, Lord, you will bless all of them with salvation, spiritual, family, life, financial, material, protection, and provision blessings. And we pray the same for all of the people who are under the sound of my voice right now. And Lord, we pray for those who have gotten saved through the ministry. Help them to grow in the faith and be the Christians that you want them to be. We pray for Al. We pray for Robert. We pray for Moore. We pray for Wren. We pray for Art. We pray for Edward. And we pray for Kanika. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be as well. And to stand strong in the faith. We pray for Rachel. We pray for Jaya. We pray for Anne. We pray for Dominique, Amgella, George, and Nathan. Holy Father God, we commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Our special devotional reading today is The Doorway to the Kingdom by Oswald Chambers. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. The Word of God says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Beware of thinking of our Lord as only a teacher. If Jesus Christ is only a teacher, then all he can do is frustrate me by setting a standard before me I cannot attain. What is the point of presenting me with such a lofty ideal if I cannot possibly come close to reaching it? I would be happier if I never knew it. What good is there in telling me to be what I can never be? Pure in heart. To do more than my duty, or to be completely devoted to God. I must know Jesus Christ as my Savior before his teaching has any meaning for me other than that of a lofty ideal which only leads to despair. But when I am born again by the Spirit of God, I know that Jesus Christ did not come only to teach. He came to make me what he teaches I should be. And by the way, if you can get a hold of this, this can change your life today. That Jesus Christ is not only your teacher, but he is your Savior, who will give you the grace and the strength and the heart and the mind and the ability to do what he teaches. And that's a beautiful thing. So if he tells you to pray without ceasing, then he'll give you the strength, the grace, and the mind and the heart and the help you need to pray without ceasing. For he gave a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So when you depart from this service today and you name the name of Christ, you need to pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't quit. Don't stop. Keep on going, whether you feel like it or not. The redemption means that Jesus Christ can place within anyone the same nature that ruled his own life, and all the standards God gives us are based on that nature. The teaching of the Sermon on the Mount produces a sense of despair in the natural man. Exactly what Jesus means for it to do. As long as we have some self-righteous idea that we can carry out our Lord's teaching, God will allow us to continue until we expose our own ignorance by stumbling over some obstacle in our way. Only then are we willing to come to him as paupers and receive from him, learn from him, and be able to obey him. Blessed are the poor in spirit. This is the first principle in the kingdom of God, the underlying foundation of Jesus Christ's kingdom. Is this spiritual poverty? Not possessions, not the prosperity gospel, not making decisions for Jesus, but having such a sense of absolute futility that we finally admit, Lord, I cannot even begin to do it without you. Then Jesus says, blessed are you, for you're poor in spirit. This is the doorway to the kingdom. And yet it takes us so long to believe that we are actually poor in spirit. The knowledge of our own poverty, our spiritual poverty, is what brings us to the proper place where Jesus Christ accomplishes his work. Always remember, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, we must die. We must take up our cross and follow Christ. Always remember that the cross, when you take it up, that means death to you, so that Christ can live through you and do his will. Now, dear friend, if you're with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ said, John 3:16, from the Word of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Holy Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. So today, dear friend, just acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Understand that the wages of sin is death. You will die physically one day because of sin. Your body will be put into a grave. Your soul will spend eternity in hell, will go to hell to spend eternity there. But the good news out of that bad news is that Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that includes you, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Simply believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the sacrificial Lamb of God who paid your sin debt and took away the sin of the entire world. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead early one Sunday morning. He died for you. He paid your sin debt, and all you have to do is believe on him. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will. And if you are willing to do that today, I'm willing to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. As you know, Lord, to name a few, I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have coveted in my heart and lusted in my heart after people and things. I am guilty. I have dishonored and disrespected and disobeyed my parents. I've dishonored you by taking your holy name in vain, even with cursing. I understand, Lord, and I realize that I deserve to die and go to hell for my sins. But based upon your holy word that I just heard, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, I now believe in your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, to save my soul from hell. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Lord Jesus, I now believe with all of my heart that you died for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. I receive you into my spirit. Please save my soul and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to repent of all of my sins past. Help me to turn from all of my evil ways. And help me to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. And so, dear friend, if you just believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior in your heart, and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life. And that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, and it's not just a pamphlet now, it is a book. You can download the book for free and read the book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.